Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.
Going so well in the shortened season off the bat. It's almost like you kind of wish you would have run into one of those teams with a COVID outbreak so you wouldn't have played so many games by now, right?
Yeah, that's that would have been, the Phillies are kind of upset about it. They're just like picking on the Marlins. And Andrew McCutchen just put something out again. Derek Jeter's trying to defend it. But at least at this point in time, we might be like, you know, 1-2 or 2-1 instead of 2-7. But of course, you know, we're winning against the Twins. Like, before the show, we're talking about it. And I'm like the one team I thought we were just going to go in there and just get steamrolled by. We're up 3-0 right now. Cole Tucker had a leadoff home run, you know.
And you said he sucks. I mean, I love it. I hope he's got your name written inside of his hat. Like one of those things to remind him when he goes up there. Craig Toth says I suck. Like, that's what I hope he has. I hope he has that as bulletin board material.
Well, right now I'm not getting punched because he's below 300.
Okay.
He's hitting 235, but his OPS is 748. So he's not doing too bad.
Yeah, but he's got to do better than that for you to get punched. So
yes.
that was the deal. All right. So before we get into what's going on with the Bucks, let's talk first about Major League Baseball, because I'm so sick of there's a point where I want to grab like national baseball writers. And I'm talking about the Jason Starks, Ken Rosenthal's, and Jeff Passan's that I've always enjoyed reading. And I want to shake them right now and tell them to knock it off. Because I get it. COVID's a real thing. I get it. There's a lot of people who are dying from COVID, have died from COVID, and will still die from COVID. I understand all of that. But I would like them to sit down and actually look at a couple of the things that they've learned scientifically about COVID and the fact that 80% of the deaths are people that are 60 and over. And stop acting like every time a Major League Baseball player tests positive for COVID, they're going to die. Because it's almost as if they're rooting for baseball not to make it. We've talked about this before. It's like they're rooting for baseball not to make it. You know what we learned about the Marlins-Phillies thing? And we talked about this last week. But you know what we really learned about the Marlins-Phillies thing? Is that it's not getting spread from team to team while they're out on the field in fresh air. Because the Phillies didn't get it at all. And the Marlins had 21 positive tests. So
yeah,
that right there has got to tell you that the players should just be comfortable as long as their own team is acting responsibly. But we've got the Marlins screwing around that's now come to light. They were completely out of their depth, running all over the place, not taking it seriously. The organization wasn't holding any safety factors over them and keeping them in check. And now we have the Cardinals, and they've had an outbreak. And what do? Well, they only just went to a casino. I mean, why not? And there's pictures on Facebook of their relief staff, which, by the way, it started in the bullpen. Those were the first two positive tests.
Oh, absolutely.
Taking pictures with a bunch of people. Nobody's got a mask on. So here's the thing. If your team really wants to play this year, then maybe stay in a hotel. And it's not a matter of Major League Baseball screwing up COVID as much. And gosh, I hate Rob Manfred just like the rest of you. And I wish him and Tony Clark would go get on a boat, sail out to sea, and be lost forever. But it's not on them as much as it is on these grown men that are out there playing the game and putting themselves at risk. And I think these teams, when this is discovered, should have to forfeit their games. Because the Phillies get destroyed by this whole thing. The Milwaukee Brewers don't play since like Wednesday, and they run into a hot team now that they have to play for the next four games that's rolling, and they haven't picked up a baseball in 5 days. It's an unfair advantage to the teams that
absolutely
didn't do anything wrong that you're just going to sit there and say, well, we're going by winning percentage at the end. Forget this winning percentage thing at the end. forfeit the games. If you don't want to give them to the other team, like, well, it's not fair that the Phillies get five wins for doing nothing, then let the Phillies keep their winning percentage, but give five losses to the Marlins because they deserve it for this crap.
Yeah, there's no reason for this type of stuff to happen. And what we've said all along is if a guy wants to opt out, he has every right and every ability. We saw Lorenzo Cain for the Brewers just opted out during the time where they were sitting there, you know, not doing anything because he was just like, you know what? Maybe this isn't worth it for me. So, you know,
I think he opted out because he thought it was stupid. I think Lorenzo Cain's opt out doesn't smack of, oh, I'm scared of COVID. Lorenzo Cain's opt out is this is a waste of my damn time. They're not, we should be out and be able to play. Why isn't it that Major League Baseball doesn't sit there and say, okay, these two teams played each other and we're going to take the other teams that are going to end up playing each other anyway in a couple of weeks and have them play each other now so we can make up games later. Instead, you put four teams on the shelf every time one team tests positive. You know what it should be? At worst, it should be two teams are on the shelf. And then in a couple days later, get that other team back in there because it's not going from team to team on the field. It's staying within that one team. Major League Baseball needs to adjust as they go along here. Shutting down four teams every time one team has a positive test is an overreaction. They're only doing it because they don't want to look bad to the Jason Starks, Jeff Passans, and Ken Rosenthal's of the world and everybody else that's writing every article they can on The Athletic and ESPN.com and everything like that, just lambasting them for even playing a game. Because if you don't believe there are people that don't want this to work, because if it works, it's going to prove an awful lot of people wrong that still want to shut down everything in the world. If these guys can go out and play a season and it doesn't run rampant and there's not deaths in Major League Baseball, people are going to sit around and say, well, then you know what? My kid should be able to go play soccer in his backyard. And there are people that are rooting against that right now.
Yeah, and you have guys that are pretty much looking at it and, you know, trying to exacerbate the situation. And they'll say, oh, there was 36 games missed last week. And it's like, no, there weren't 36 games because some of those games are played between those two teams. You have to do a little bit of math. It might be a little bit of fuzzy math, but you still have to do some sort of math to figure out that, you know what, it wasn't 36 games. Divide that by, you know, four or whatever it would be. I can't do math. Say it was 28 games.
Right.
And it's like, divide it by four. And it's like, oh, no, there was actually only seven games that weren't played. It wasn't 28 games that were missed.
And there'll be doubleheaders. And you know what Major League Baseball made a mistake with is that they tried to hurry it up in 66 games. What they should have done is built more days off in if this was what the plan was. If the plan was if somebody tests positive and they're going to shut things down and keep all these teams on the bench for a couple of days, there should have been built-in days to make up the games. That's the thing that Major League Baseball screwed up. Right now, what they're screwing up is that their plan is evolving not only not fast enough, but they didn't have an idea that what were we going to do the first time that a team got sick. Because they clearly weren't ready for that. But I just get a kick out of these guys. You can tell they have articles written in their drawer waiting to go. They wrote it 2 months ago when they were still clamoring for baseball about why Major League Baseball should never have played in the first place. And it's already written and saved on their desktop waiting to be released the moment that baseball fails because they're rooting for it.
They basically have a spot open for whatever team or player. It's like they got a couple like little blank spots where they can put in like, okay, which team is going to screw up? Because I mean, here's the thing is we all knew this was going to happen. We all knew there was going to be a team that was going to screw up. And it's just because people aren't going to follow the protocols. There weren't clear protocols. And the other part I'm getting at here is that I'm surprised, number one, we haven't seen the robo-umps yet, because every other thing that Rob Manfred's trying to do, I've seen it twice with the Pirates already. That stupid, you know, guy on second rule. God, do I hate that so bad. Now we're having seven inning, you know, double headers, which is okay for the minor leagues, because like we talked about before, in the minor leagues, winning percentage doesn't matter. And that's basically what they're showing right now is they're going to talk about the winning percentage. But if you're going to play seven inning double headers at this point in time, I mean, believe me, I want everybody to go out there. I want them to try. I want the, you know, but for the most part, this is entertainment value is what this is at this point in time. It's entertainment value. And I'm not saying, I mean, because there's people that have come out and said, you know, if you win the World Series in this type of situation, then good for you. And I think that, you know, within the players and, you know, some media, they may say, you know what, good for them. They won it. But in the back of their mind, it may not count as much.
Oh, this should count for more. Let me tell you something. If you're able to win the World Series this year and you have to contend with the possibility that you could be shut down at any moment because of some arbitrary decision that might have nothing to do with your own team. When you have to stop and restart, when you have your schedules changed on the fly, when you have to deal without having any people in the stands, when you have to deal with being away from your families maybe a little bit more than you wanted to, when you have all these other factors thrown in, the team that wins this World Series deserves this World Series. They are deserving World Series champs because they're going through very difficult circumstances. I would have no problem saying that's the world champion from the year before and they earned it. I'm sorry. I would have no problem with it happening. The thing that scares me the most is this, though. You're going to get to the postseason and Major League Baseball better have a plan for what happens when one of those 16 final teams tests positive for COVID. Are you going to have them just forfeit their spot? Because I think that if you do that, you should have your spot forfeited because you can't stop that tournament in the back half of the season with 16 teams because the New York Yankees get caught in a strip club partying one night and 18 of them end up with COVID. If that happens, they get dropped to the side and everybody else moves on because otherwise you got a giant mess. Major League Baseball has to figure that out. That's at least hopefully something they've learned now because I'm telling you right now, they shut down baseball. They decide they take this away after they've gotten us all hooked back into it because they don't run this correctly and they just give up at this point. You're going to have a lot of angry fans. You're going to have yet another contingent of fans like you always seem to have with a labor dispute or anything else like that. Turn around and say, that's it. I'm done with this sport. And baseball can't afford that. Are you or someone you know looking to learn how to play a musical instrument this year? Then you should be checking out Westgate Music School. Private music lessons for all instruments, including guitar, piano, drums, voice, bass guitar, violin, banjo, ukulele, and more. Are you a vocalist? Are you ready to play a musical instrument and looking to join a group? Westgate Music School offers group classes for rock band, a cappella vocal, and barbershop quartet. Plus, it's all online. That's right. From anywhere in the country, you can learn any instrument you want with Westgate Music School. Gift certificates for Westgate are also available. More information, westgatemusicschool.com.
But yeah, I just wanted to go back to the point you were making about a team actually earning it. And we had had Matt Capps on earlier in this, you know, extended offseason or second offseason or whatever you want to call it, where he was talking about how tough it was going to be for the pitchers to, you know, warm back up and get ready again. And we've seen this already with the Pirates, who I think at this point in time now have five pitchers on the IL because they were warming up. They were getting, you know, loosened up and they were getting extended out and they were getting to that point in spring training. And then it went to the shutdown. And I know that they were trying to work on some of that stuff in the offs, you know, away from it and trying to keep, and there's, you know, I know Shelton was saying, oh, they're worked up to five innings and six innings. And you know what? That's all fine and good. But then you come back here and you see the number of pitchers that are going down with like these forearm strains, with an oblique, with a shoulder strain.
So many of them. Shohei Ohtani got shut down on Monday. Carlos Rodon of the White Sox, who's off of his second surgery in like 2.5 years, he saw his velocity drop from 91 miles an hour in the first inning to 85 in the second and never came out for the third. Who knows what's wrong with him? I mean, pitchers are dropping by the wayside left and right now.
I mean, just a lot of people. And here's the thing is, and I feel bad because like Chad Kuhl for us had like fought his way back from Tommy John and hadn't pitched since 2018, came out. He was doing like the piggyback with Brault, pitched really well the first time, came back out the second time, all of a sudden, you know, wasn't feeling so good, and he's out, and they haven't announced what's happened with him, but, you know, pulling Keller out. Keller's, you know, had, you know, a little bit of an issue. Michael Feliz just got put on the 45. There's just so many guys that, I mean...
Do you know who wins the postseason this year? Teams with big offense. My dad used to always say, like, you know, offense wins games, defense wins championships, and I think you can apply that to pretty much any sport in the world. Good defenses normally trump good offenses. Good pitching in baseball will trump good offenses. But this year, we might have softball games going on towards the end here because we have subpar pitching out there so much. Because pitchers are falling to the wayside left and right. It might be which team's got an offense that can win a back and forth. Because unless a team has some guy that they're willing to bring up from the minor leagues right now or from that from that group that they have that they're holding off to the side in their other secondary camp.
Yeah.
And that's going to come out and be able to set the world on fire. You're going to run out of pitchers real quick. Let's talk about a guy in the Pirates, though, that impresses me. Kella goes down. Nick Birdie. There's a guy with some stuff, man. And the thing is that he's young. You don't want to hurt him. You can't send him out there for saves every day. Luckily, the Pirates have only won two games, so it's not like there's a lot of save opportunities. But so that's good. At least that's good for his health. It sucks for the Pirates. But, I mean, tell me about what you saw with this guy. Because I think that, like, that's a nice surprise to see a guy like that, that you've known his name for a while. You've been waiting for him to get there and do something. Trust me, he's doing better already than what our simulation did during the big shutdown, what that showed that he could do. He wasn't that good in the simulation. He couldn't even break the major league roster for most of the year.
Oh, I know. And it's the same thing right now with guys like JT Brubaker, who, like, a lot of people forget that he was actually supposed to come up last year before Keller came up. I know we talked about this last year on the podcast. You have to go back to, you know, the beginnings of the podcast or whatever, but I went down and saw him pitch for the West Virginia Black Bears, and then he got shut down after that with a forearm strain. He's come back, and he's looked really good in his couple of appearances here, and people are saying, and even Gary Morgan from our, you know, from Inside the Bucks Basement, and I agree that he should maybe get a chance in the starting rotation. But even with him, like, he's stretched out, you know, two innings, three innings. And the last thing I want to see is him getting more work after coming back from an injury and then going out like Cool has. I don't want to see that, because it's this year, we're not going to win the whole thing. And it's the other thing of people saying, well, where's Blake Cederlund? Why aren't we bringing him up yet? Well, number one, Blake Cederlund had a few innings in AAA last year. He did real well in the spring. And you bring Yaxel Rios up because guess why? Because you're not going to start the clock on Blake Cederlund in a shortened season when they're hoping to get everything back to normal, hopefully next year, where he's going to start out in AAA and probably be with the club by the end of next year. But you're not starting a clock on that guy. I understand the frustration for Pirates fans to want to see those guys called up. I really do. I honestly do, because you know what? He probably could be, and I know that's, everybody's going to say you're doing double talk, and it is a little bit of double talk. He probably could be better than the guys that you're putting out here right now. But honestly, are you going to put him in this type of situation at this point in time, in this early in his career, like a Nick Mears, a Blake Cederlund? There's guys down there that you're looking at as the future of your organization, not the president of your organization. So you're going to bring up guys that, you know what, they might not even be on the team next year, but you're just going to use them to fill in to get through the rest of this season.
If you're 7-2 through your first nine games instead of 2-7, he has a better chance of being on your team eventually, because if you have the postseason looming and somebody goes down or you need him, then they may say, yeah, let's go for it. Let's get into the postseason. Let's see if we can make a run. This team is promising. But when you get off to a 2-7 start through your first nine games, he's not coming anywhere near this team, because there's no motivation for the team long term. Like, they don't like to use the word rebuild, Craig. But you look at the pitching right now with this team. We've said it before. Joe Musgrove's not really an ace. On most major league staffs, he's probably a three pitcher. You know, he really is. I'm sorry, but he's probably a three starter on a good major league baseball staff. He's the ace on this staff. So when you look at this team now and you think to yourself, not even 2021, but let's say 2022, and it might even be longer till they're really ready to go, but 2022, and you look at some of these pitchers that you're seeing that are out there coming out of the bullpen, maybe in the starting rotation, who are you excited about through the first 1/6 of the season now? That's how quick this thing goes.
Yeah.
We're a sixth of the way through the season. Who are you most excited about? And besides Birdie, like, who else are you? You sit there and go, wow, that's nice. That guy could be something.
Yeah, I mean, and it's going to go back to JT Brubaker, because he's one of our younger guys. It's going to go to kind of see, like, if Steven Brault can find his spot as a either like the piggyback or the opener or like the long reliever or something like that as far as the pitching goes. But even him, we don't know how much longer he's going to be able to stick around. So for me, there's honestly, it's patchwork here is what it is at this point in time. I mean, here's the thing is Derek Holland's pitching tonight, you know, the Dutch oven, love the dude. I mean, he's going through four innings, you know, he's got five strikeouts, two hits.
Who started the first argument in the COVID era where everybody had to put out a massive argument, and he's sitting in the stands and he starts an argument, the Dutch oven.
But here's the thing is, that's the type of guy you bring in this in a rebuild, is he's like, he's that veteran, you know, he's the patchwork. We're going to, you know, put this rotation together. Unfortunately, right now with Keller being down, I mean, I know we talked about this last time, and you kind of talked me into the fact that he was looking a little bit better, and he was doing the same type of thing again. He wasn't getting the strikeouts, but he was working through it before he went down. But it's kind of hard to have any guys that are showing like any form of excitement for me here. That's like the sad part. Like, dude, this, I'm looking down the roster. It's fairly depressing that everybody is, I mean, they're going to want to, all Pirates fans are going to want to give like the biggest contract in the world to Philip Evans at the end of all of this. And here's the thing is, I like Philip Evans. He's a guy that, you know, performed well in AAA for the Mets and the Cubs. And he's the type of guy that you can find in one of these rebuilds that may end up being like your utility man for like the next couple of years. But some people like were saying like long-term utility man. And I'm like, I don't see anybody on this team at this point in time that's safe anymore, especially like a disappointing start by Brian Reynolds. You know, everybody's saying sophomore slump. And it might be, but a guy's batting like 133 right now. You can't get excited about that. Kevin Newman's kind of come on a little bit, but he's still not up over, you know, 200 yet. There's the only person that's been exciting to watch so far has been Colin Moran. And if you'd have told me that Colin Moran would have 5 home runs at this point in the season and would be the person that we would be most excited about, like, I just want to laugh because I like Colin Moran, but we never talked him up as being this god. But everybody was saying, oh, you just got to get him off the field because we got to get Brian Hayes in there and we got to get all these young guys in here. And then you got Colin Moran belting 5 home runs and looking like, you know, Josh Bell in May last year. To me, it just kind of makes me laugh. It just, I mean, because what people didn't understand is Colin Moran was a first round draft pick. He has first round draft pick pedigree. And it's not saying that every first round draft pick works, but he was a first round draft pick for a reason.
Eventually guys figure it out. Some guys take longer. And that's what the danger is when you peg a guy like Colin Moran as somebody who sucks. Because some guys don't get it going in the first few years. Some guys, it takes them a year or two. I mean, there are guys, right? I mean, there's guys that got MVP votes last year that started off and played a full season and a half, 2 years, where they couldn't hit far over 200. But they were projects that teams that were rebuilding stick with. The problem with Colin Moran is that You bought a bill of goods with the previous regime that they told you were going to compete every year. And so then you were relying on Colin Moran when in reality, you weren't really going to compete because they weren't spending the money and they didn't have the team set up the right way. And they're trading away good players like Austin Meadows and Tyler Glasnow. And I mean, like, who, by the way, I just read something the other day where some major writer or scout or something like that said he may become one of the most deadly pitchers in Major League Baseball over the next year or so. And it almost made me throw up thinking about what the Pirates did giving him up. So, I mean, it's incredible. But you know, you were sold this bill of goods that, oh, well, Moran is just going to come up and be a star. And when it didn't work out, instead of saying, well, you know, we have to build our talent from within, The organization doesn't do a really good job of deflecting that. They just say, oh, look at this guy over here, Cabrian Hayes. He'll take over eventually.
Yeah.
So then you forget that Colin Moran is a guy that could actually become something for your team. And he's not a bad ball player. And he's nowhere near an age where you would give up on him. In fact, most baseball players don't really hit their stride until 27 and 28. Now, there's been this thing as of late where you see these super prospects that come up a little early. So, yes, there are some guys who the curve happens a little bit earlier for them. But Colin Moran is in no way done in his career. And I think it's an exciting thing for Pirates fans. You should be excited about what Colin Moran's doing. You want him to have a great 60 games and come out of it going, hey, maybe this guy's really, really a thing. And you know, and hey, maybe if somebody comes knocking on our door for Cabrian Hayes, we could flip him for a couple things that we need. You don't know. So that's the thing. Be happy about what's going on with Colin Moran. Before we get out of here, Bud, I gotta rib you a little bit. We got to talk some trash. Our fantasy baseball league, we're only getting to play each other all one time this year before the postseason. In fact, there is no postseason. It's a race to the pennant. There is no championship game. It's whoever has the best record, tiebreaker goes the points. Head-to-head, race to the finish because it's such a short season with these 10 teams. 9 weeks long is this thing. You and I, each one in the league, in week one, we're both 1-1. Are you aware that we're playing each other this week? Did you notice that?
I did notice that, and you're going to absolutely destroy me because I did get the win last week, but it was like the saddest, most pathetic. I don't know. Like if I was the guy that lost to me, I may not play the rest of the season because I my team was not very good. If it wasn't for, I think it was Savali for the Indians kind of came out and like just went lights out. And other than that, like I didn't have a ton going for me. I mean, my team is not the worst.
Well, let's compare our teams side by side. Remember, it's a Dynasty League, and Craig just entered the league, okay? Which is really unfair, because the guy just enters the league, and he gets himself stuck with a COVID season. And he actually has done a very good job as he takes a team over that was already built for him by the guy who decided to get out of the league, and he jumped in. And he renamed his team the Yinsplosion, which is very Yinzer, and he's playing my team named after the great Baseball Stars video game team, Ninja Black Sox. That's where I get that from, is Baseball Stars. JT Realmuto or Tucker Barnhart? Which one would you rather have? I have Realmuto. Anthony Rizzo?
Especially since I dropped Tucker Barnhart and then picked him back up.
Anthony Rizzo at first base or Yuli Gurriel? I'll take Rizzo. Jose Altuve or DJ LeMahieu? That's pretty close, especially because Altuve doesn't have any garbage cans banging in the background. Jose Ramirez from the Indians versus Rafael Devers. I'm going to go with Ramirez on that one. Trevor Story against D.D. Gregorius. That's pretty close. You got some talent at short, right? You got some talent at short.
I kind of got lucky with him being on my roster.
Let me read off my three outfielders versus your three outfielders. Aaron Judge, Eddie Rosario, Luis Robert. You have Eloy Jimenez, David Peralta, and Hunter Renfro. You're getting crushed on that one.
I'm getting destroyed.
Yoan Moncada is my utility guy. You've got DeJong from St. Louis. He isn't even playing right now. The Cardinals won't even play all week long. And then let's look at the pitching staff here. My starting five this week are Walker Buehler, Mike Clevinger, Zach Gallen, Jacob DeGrom, and Big Dick Mountain, Rich Hill.
And I think Jacob DeGrom has already struck out like 35 people so far
this
point game.
As we're doing the show, he's already playing. He's thrown 104 pitches over six innings. He has struck out 10. And already earned the quality start, and his team is leading 7-2 over Atlanta. You have Aaron Civale, John Gray, Charlie Morton, Max Scherzer, and Justice Sheffield. It's not a bad little group of five. So I'm going to tell you something right now. You have an advantage because Dick Mountain hurt his back and now is questionable to play the entire week. And he was supposed to be a two-star pitcher for me. He was supposed to be a two-star pitcher for me, and I'm unable to send him out there. So you have a chance. You have a legitimate chance to upset me this week. I hope you don't, but you have a legitimate chance.
If I do, I can thank your daughter because I think she traded me Max Scherzer in the offseason.
Well, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, my friend,
for
trading
Robert.
Me Luis Robert.
Yeah. I gave you Lou Bob for Kevin Newman and a bag of balls.
I got La Pantera. They're already calling him the next Mike Trout. He's played in 10 games. He went from batting at the bottom of his order to he's the leadoff man. And it took less than 8 games for them to put him up in that spot.
I was going to say, I saw him. Like, what'd they have him? Down in like the 7 or the 8 spot? I'm like, who the heck bats that guy down there?
Like, well, he's a rookie. Let's see if he works his way in. Now, my trade acquisition in our fantasy league is basically leading a high-powered offense. And he's the guy who's getting on base before they all start knocking him in. I mean, the guy's got all five tools. I appreciate you. But you got Kevin Newman on the deal. So, you know, I mean, you should be happy about that.
I should have tried to get Colin Moran.
You should have tried. I bet you can still get Colin Moran. Colin Moran's probably still out there.
He might be. I'm going to go pick him up. Then he'll suck, and then everybody can blame me.
Yeah, don't pick him up. Let's talk about the faith you have in Pirates players real quick. Bell and Newman both on the bench for you this week against me. You didn't start either one of them.
Dude, Josh Bell, he has a hit this game. He's up at the Mendoza line. He's right at 200. He did get a home run the other day. he just can't seem to get things going. And that's right. What's happening to most of the Pirates players right now is, thank God that the Jacob Stallings is the catcher that, you know, we all thought he was, as in me and you and maybe two other people in Pittsburgh.
I know.
And how well he's playing on defense.
We're the guys that said you already have an everyday catcher in Jacob Stallings. And everybody's like, oh, those guys are nuts.
And now all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, Jacob Stallings is the top defender in baseball. And we're like, yeah.
Yeah, this is why you should listen to more Bucks in the Basement. We had that pegged a year ago.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say, one thing.